Good morning. Are you happy to be here this morning?
Yes.
I am. So today is the day that the Lord has made, and therefore we need to rejoice in it. I'm rejoicing in this day that the Lord has made. Let us pray. Father Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given to me to share your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you use me as an instrument to bring your word across to each and every one of us, that at the end of this session, we'll be able to give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic I have for us this morning is the humility of Christ. The humility of Christ. And our text is from Philippians chapter 2, starting from verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. In Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every knee should confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So like I said before, the topic we have this morning is the humility of Christ. The central meaning of humility is freedom from pride, loneliness, meekness, modesty, mildness. Humility is from the Greek word gnosis, an emptying, used in theology with reference to the self-abnegation of the Son of God in becoming incarnate and entering upon his state of humiliation. Jesus made himself of no reputation, emptied himself. It also means self-deprivation or the laying aside of something that Christ possessed as a divine person. So Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, emptied himself of that honor that he had with the Father. And he did it for a purpose. Why did he do it? Number one, he has always existed with God. Jesus always existed with God. And in order to fulfill what the Father had called him to do, he had to do something. He had to show it by reducing himself to become a human being. What does the Bible tell us in Romans chapter 1? In Romans chapter 1, verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Jesus even though he was God, he, from the beginning, he had to reduce himself, coming down to our level. If he hadn't come down to our level, he wouldn't have been able to fulfill that which God Almighty had wanted him to do. So he did it for a purpose. Likewise, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, there we read, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus was the second person of the Trinity, and he participated in the creation, which means all the things in the heaven and on earth and under the earth belong to him. But for your sake and for my sake, he became poor. And he knows what poverty is all about. Remember what he told his followers in Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Even though he created the world, he became poor so that he may taste what poverty is all about. There are many poor people in the world today. So when they're talking about poverty, Jesus knew their condition. And he knows their condition. He knows my condition, your own condition. "For your sake and for my sake, he became poor in order to set you free, in order to set me free." Jesus did that for a purpose. He was equal to God because he is God. According to verse 6 of our text, Philippians 2, verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." He was equal with God, but he had to humble himself. He had to reduce himself in order to do something spectacular, to come on this earth in order to perform the miracle of salvation, the miracle of deliverance, to give you a hope, to give me a hope. Without that hope, there'll be no salvation for you, there'll be no salvation for me, and you won't be able to get to eternity that has a straight way. Remember, there are two eternities, one in hell and one in heaven. Jesus came for a purpose, to give you a hope, to give me a hope. Therefore, he performed what his Father had ordered him to do. If it were you and I today, we'll start grumbling and want to be like Satan. Remember Satan? He wanted to be like God. All that God did, he wanted to do it because he was aspiring to be like God. There are many people today who are aspiring in that way. But Jesus did not do it that way. Instead of trying to be exactly like God, he humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, we're going to hear what happened. And he did it voluntarily. Number four, he did not just pretend to have man's body. He actually became a man to identify with man's sins, according to verse 8 of our text. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Jesus humbled himself and died a shameful death, a sinner's death. You know that then in Israel, it's bad people that were crucified on the tree. But Jesus being righteous, was crucified on the tree because of you, because of me, to give us hope. He laid an example what it meant to be a bond servant. And little wonder Paul always referred to him, to himself, as a bond servant, doulos of Christ, a doulos of Christ, a servant of God. So you and I have been called to serve. And Jesus knew what it meant to serve. He came. Remember, he washed his disciples' feet, showing them an example of what humility is all about. It's not puffing up. You know who I am? Yes, I am Mr. Know it all. I have all this money in this world. Do you know who I am? But Jesus did not do that. The Bible tells us that he humbled himself. Because he humbled himself, he was able to accomplish the task he came to fulfill on this earth. And what was that task? To set you free, to set me free. Jesus did it all for you and for me. For we do not have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. He came on this earth, humbled himself, tempted as we are, without sin. Have you undergone any temptations lately? I guess many of us must have. Did you overcome the temptation? Some of us did, some did not. But thanks be to God that Jesus knew what temptation was all about. But he overcame. He overcame in order to set you free, in order to set me free. Therefore, let that mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. That same mind of humility, let it be in you. Humbling yourself. That Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, dying a sinner's death. And because he did, there's hope for you and for me today. He died on a cross for our sins, so we wouldn't have to face eternal death. Why did Jesus pay the price? So that you and I wouldn't have to pay the penalty, which we're not able to pay. We're not able to pay the penalty for all our sins. If we are, then there wouldn't have been a reason for Jesus coming. And that's why the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it tells us again in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's not through Long Beach Alliance Church. It's not through Pastor Chris. It's not through Spurgeon. It's not through whatever name of any person you can think of. But it's through Jesus Christ. So, my brother, my sister, you need to submit yourself under the tutelage of Christ. All that he did for you and for me. He did it. Remember, he died a shameful death. He did it so that you might have life. And have it how? More abundantly. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give himself a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. He did not come to be served, but he came to serve. Leaders of the church, we have been called to serve. Are we exemplifying that our calling? that to show that Jesus, our Master, he came to serve. And you and I, we need to exemplify that, serving in the church. And you as members too, you have been called in one way or the other to serve so that our church will continue to advance. We need to show example of what our Master Jesus did for us. He came, he humbled himself. He laid aside every divine right, every privilege, every position out of love for his Father. Jesus laid aside all those things that would have puffed him up for your sake and for my sake. So you and I, we need to show that we are children of God in our humility. Just remember the definition I gave above, that Jesus emptied himself. It means self-deprivation or laying aside of something that Christ possessed as a divine person. Even at the beginning, humility is freedom from pride, lowliness, meekness, modesty, mildness. So we should humble ourselves in every aspect of our lives. Whatever we are doing, we have to show that Christ has laid an example for you and for me. And when we do, God's name will be glorified. In verse 9, we are told, therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. God highly exalted Christ. Why did he exalt Christ? Because Christ himself emptied himself of the dignity that he had. And because he emptied himself, God highly exalted him. Above things in heaven, things on earth, and things underneath the earth. Because he did it. How about you? Do you think that when you humble yourself in your Christian walk, that God will not exalt you? Or do you have to show off your limousine? Show off your big house. It's not bad to have all those things. But when you have them and they are turning your head upside down, it's not bad to have those things. But it's when they are turning you, when they are, you make them your God, that's when it's a problem. But Jesus, he did not think about all that he did as God, all that he had as God. He didn't hold them tenaciously, but he had to empty himself of all those, empty himself of the pride of who he was, coming on earth here, incarnating on earth here to be like you, to be like me, to feel like you, all the difficulties, all the problems. Remember when his friend Lazarus died, his sisters were crying in order to show that he was still human. What did he do? I want to hear from you. What did he do? He wept. He wept. Jesus wept because he had concern. He had concern for the people whom he loved. He so loves you that he gave himself up in order that you might have abundant life. And have abundant life. Have it more abundantly. Jesus did it for a purpose. God raised him to his original position at the Father's right hand, where he will reign forever as Lord and Judge. Yes, Jesus will reign as Lord and Judge. Let me read these verses. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 56. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughterer, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53:3-7. Jesus did all these things for you, leaving you an example, leaving me an example. Furthermore, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Galatians 3:13. Jesus did all this. And he didn't stop there. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. John 10:17-18. Jesus did all this for you and for me. He led example. He led example that you and I need to follow. And as the Father knows me, even so I know my Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. John 10:15. He laid down his life for his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. We need to lay down our lives for other people, but not in the sense that Christ did it, but in the sense of learning from the humility of Christ. We need to show examples to others. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Whom are you looking unto? To yourself? To your wife? To your husband? To your children? To the pastor? Or the elders? You look unto Jesus. Christ said, looking unto Jesus. Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, after finishing the task he came to do here on earth, he returned back to the throne of God and sat at the right hand of God because he performed excellently well. The Father highly exalted him. Do you know that there will be an exaltation for you on that last day for having worked hard in the vineyard of God, having humbled yourself, having taken your own position as a child of God? So Jesus humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, God highly exalted him. Are you humbling yourself in your own calling as a child of God? If you have not been doing it, or if you've not been doing it enough, this morning, I'm encouraging all of us to learn from Christ. Even though he was God, he humbled himself to the point of death, dying a sinner's death, to give you hope, to give me hope. Are you able to sacrifice like other people? Many Christians are sacrificing their lives for the sake of Christ in many parts of the world. Jesus sacrificed his life. Many people are asked to renounce Christ. When they refuse to renounce Christ, what happens next? Gun on their head, and they're shot to death. It's happening in Nigeria, it happened in Afghanistan, and even in India, and many parts of the world. People are asked to renounce Christ. When they refuse, they pay the price with their life. Jesus came and sacrificed himself. What price are you going to pay for serving the Lord? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. What do you owe? In conclusion, Jesus knowingly and actively embraced a life of giving, serving, losing, and dying. We as followers and recipients of his love are called to do the same. We are to love God and love others. That is what motivated Jesus, and that should motivate us too. God views service and humility as great strengths and not weaknesses. Brethren, let us humble ourselves and serve humanity. Let's humble ourselves and serve humanity. When we humble ourselves and serve humanity, the rest will be left for God to accomplish. Jesus came and served humanity. Let us pray. Father, Lord, I want to thank you for your word has gone out, which you said will not come back to you void without accomplishing what you intended it to. Thank you that we need to learn from our Master Jesus what humility is all about. Because Jesus humbled himself, paying the price for our sins, you highly exalted him above everything in heaven and on earth and beneath the earth. Father, may we learn a lesson of loving, a lesson of serving, and Lord, as we serve, as we love, may you bless us. Thank you for having answered our prayers this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.